106.2 is WCR and I'm Phil James. Welcome to a special three-hour programme featuring Happy Roads and her music. The song you're about to hear is Rainmaker from the first of Happy's eight CDs, Roads 1. Happy Roads was born a Leo on the 9th of August 1965 and was named Kimberly Tyler Rhodes. Kimberly after the Kimberly Diamond Mines and Tyler after Mary Tyler Moore, a good friend of her mother's. She has two elder brothers, Chris and Mark. Mark couldn't pronounce her name, so, as she was such an exceptionally happy baby, he called her Happy. From that moment on, she has always been known as Happy. Happy, welcome to Wirral. How early did you start taking an interest in music?
I knew I was really interested in music at a very early age. My father used to play music in the house, and it was a very eccentric collection of music. And I used to sing along with the various tracks, and as well as television shows, the programs would have theme songs, and I found myself at a very early age singing along with them.
Who did you listen to?
As I got older, when I reached the age where I could start buying my own music and, you know, choosing my own radio stations and whatever, I found myself drawn toward really strange and complex sounding artists. And the first one that really struck me was Queen. I became a total Queen fanatic when I was about 14. It's all I listened to, and I thought it was so amazingly intricate, musically speaking, and there really wasn't anything else like that on the radio at the time. So that's what got me interested in really creating intricate music and intricate vocal work.
The track playing in the background is First to Cry, also from the Rhodes 1 CD. You were particularly influenced by one of your father's albums, Switched on Bach, by Walter Carlos. Well, Wendy Carlos, as she is now, has recently re-recorded the album as Switched on Bach 2000 with the very latest digital technology. What did you make of it, and which is your favourite part?
My immediate reaction to it was just one of joy. I think she made it even better. I love both versions. And there's some stuff on the new one that doesn't exist on the old one also. It's a great album. My favorite Bach piece is the third movement of the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 in G major.
Well, while we're listening to that, who inspired you to become a songwriter?
I'm not really sure who inspired me to become a songwriter, per se. I've always known that music was a very strong force within me, but in terms of, I mean, I could have been just an instrumentalist, I suppose, or I could have just learned to play a classical instrument, but instead I became a songwriter. I'm not really sure why that happened, other than the possibility that when I was listening to the music when I was very young that my father played, it was all very song-oriented, and I found that it was great to sing along with. So maybe that was an inspiration. Also from listening to Queen and Yes and Kate Bush and, you know, these various artists who were crafting these really cool songs that, while they weren't classical, they were considered pop or rock, they still had an intricacy to them that I thought was admirable.
How did you come to record your first songs?
I began my recording career, as it were, when I was about 17. And the way it all happened was I knew that I wanted a career in music, in the music business. But, and I had been writing songs for a few years at that point, so I was building a repertoire. But I didn't really know how I was going to get my foot in the door. So my 17-year-old brain devised this plan that I would go to a recording studio and that I would try to become an apprentice to an engineer, just see if I could be sort of an intern and hang out and, you know, learn the engineering aspect of the business and maybe get my foot in the door that way, you know. And what happened was the engineer who I approached thought that that was a good idea and agreed to take me on, and he learned that I wrote songs on my own and played guitar, and so as a lesson he thought it would be a good idea for me to bring my guitar in and actually sit down and sing so he could record me, so he could show me how it was done. So I did, and what happened was that he was blown away and he thought it was too important for me to continue with the songwriting and singing. He just encouraged me to go on in that direction, and so I did.
Okay, tell us a bit about the track Case of Glass.
Case of Glass was more about my insecurities at the time. It's a little bit of a twisted song, I have to say, in that the song was about how nice it would be for an insecure person such as myself at the time to be able to encase your loved one in glass, so to ensure that they don't, you know, they'll always love you and they'll always be there, they won't ever leave you, you can protect them and make them your own. And it's kind of morbid, actually.
lot of your early songs sound like you're going through some bad growing pains. Is that true?
My early work does reflect a really troubled time, but then, you know, most of that material was written starting from age 14 up until age 18, so there's the entirety of my puberty there, and that's a really crazy time for anybody. So yeah, it was a lot of growing pains going on, a lot of misunderstandings about love and interpretations of what love is, and I think that you know, everyone goes through that. I just happened to get that out in music because I was writing at the time. Let Me Know Love was, musically, it's one of my favorite pieces. Lyrically, however, it also reflects a very young me, and it was a time when, you know, it was very easy for me to fall in love, and I think it's very easy for anybody that age to fall in love, and it's taken very, very, very seriously. I think a lot of adults kind of, you know, look at young kids when they fall in love and treat it not as seriously, like, oh, they'll get over it, it's just puppy love. But when you're that age, you know, you forget how really intense it is. It's a very strong thing. And a lot of times for young people, it's all they have to hang on to in terms of hope for their futures. So I was no exception to that, and that song just, I think, shows my interpretation of love at that time.
Songs as closely as you could when you recorded them?
I don't like my early work as much as I did, of course, when I created it. Probably everybody experiences that, but I don't relate to it lyrically anymore just because I've grown and I'm a different human being. It's a lot of stuff that I try to stay away from feeling embarrassed by it because it was who I was at the time. So it's probably a very true reflection of that. But like I say, I have grown. I have become another human being at this point. So it's not relatable anymore for me. However, musically, I think it stays intact for me. I can still really glean a lot from it musically.
Your songs come across as if you're writing them primarily for yourself, almost like a diary saying, hey, look, this is what's on my mind right now, and this is how it's making me feel. Is songwriting to you like a kind of catharsis?
My songs are pretty cathartic. But then, again, everyone's are, I think. Even if you're just writing about a subject that doesn't really relate to you personally, it's a very cathartic kind of thing. I think all art is cathartic, as it's meant to be. And even those who don't create works of art, who don't paint or who don't write songs, have their own forms of catharsis, whether it's therapy or whatever. But I sometimes think that if I weren't a songwriter, it probably would be therapy for me, but it really doesn't matter one or the other. It's just important to get it out.
Find the track Till the Dawn Breaks, which is a favourite track of Pammy's, who helped me greatly putting this programme together. She's well into storms and feels that there's a witchy feel to the lyrics.
I think that there is a witchy feel to Till the Dawn Breaks, but then there's probably a witchy feel to everything that I was doing back then, because I considered myself when I was younger to be a very sort of dark, gloomy human being. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a kind of a niche that I put myself in, and a lot of my writing reflected that. And while I think musically my writing still reflects that, lyrically it's changed an awful lot. My views on that has changed, and as I got older, I didn't need to envelop myself in a cloak of mystery and, you know, all that kind of dark cult type stuff. Again, there's nothing wrong with it, but I kind of grew out of that, and I don't need to hide myself behind that anymore.
Oh,
Rhodes Waltz was written about, it was basically saying, don't take advantage of me. I wasn't really singing literally about the fleeting thought. I was likening myself to a fleeting thought. You know, I am a fleeting thought. Cherish and remember, because tomorrow I'll be gone. It was just basically a cry for to be taken seriously and not be taken for granted.
Cherish and remember, tomorrow I'll be gone. Understand that I am momentary, though forever's here, I move on. But if you ignore my presence, I will never come again. Take notice, I remain for no one, no thing.
Your next album was Ecto, which includes the track Would That I Could, which features lines from Midsummer Night's Dream, doesn't it?
Would That I Could was a song that was based in fantasy, as is much of my material, probably. Because I'm a firm believer in fantasy. It's what got me through the first 11 years of my life, where when there were times of trouble, pain, and fear, I had a place to go, and it was very warm, and it was very safe. And so I, to this day, I really support that. I really believe in it. Not as a way of removing yourself from society. I don't necessarily believe in that. But I do think that there are some healthy aspects to escapism. Because I think as human beings, I think we naturally do that anyway when we're in times of, in situations of, you know, danger or fear, or our psyches are being challenged or threatened, we, I think, naturally revert to whatever we need to in order to get us through that, psychologically speaking. And I did that a lot as a child. I went into my own little world, and frankly, it really saved me. So that song reflects that a lot, and I thought A Midsummer Night's Dream fit perfectly into that mold.
Spots you see. day.